Tim is in Cincinnati, Ohio on 740 AM. Hello, Tim. Thanks for calling.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you, Tim. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you both.
So, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you guys go ahead.
Well, just we've kind of pitched it as, why are you an atheist? So we gently and lovingly ask, why are you, Tim, an atheist?
Basically, to quote the philosopher Lady Gaga, I was born that way, and I've just never changed.
You were an atheist at 2 minutes old?
If you define atheism as a lack of belief,
let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that the second most controversial, when I dialogue with atheists, the number one controversial thing is God and religion. The second most controversial thing is, what exactly is an atheist? So, Tim, this is how I define atheist. I think the definition, an atheist is someone who lacks a belief in God. I just don't think that's a very good definition. It would imply that the largest proportion of atheists in the world today are infants or people under the age of two. Here's my definition. An atheist is someone who believes either there is no God or there's no good reason to believe in God. What do you think of that definition?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I would say, a conscious lack of belief.
Right, so you understand what God is. You understand the...
Oh, yeah, I understand the concept.
There actually might be more to it. God is quite... He's sort of a lofty concept, if you will, infinite being itself. But, I would say then, as an atheist, you're someone who's always never believed in God, but you must have come to a point where you said, you know, I don't think there are any good reasons to believe in God. Have you come to that point yet?
Oh, yeah. I'd say about 5 or 6 years ago, I just did a lot of, soul searching, pardon the pun, and I just decided that the evidence wasn't there that there was any of a variety of supernatural beings.
Okay, well, Tim, what is the best evidence you've seen for God? What would constitute, okay, that's the best that the other side can put forward, the best evidence or argument for God. What is it, and what's wrong with it?
That I have seen?
Yeah.
I think the worst is just, I hear somebody say, well, I feel it.
Oh, I agree with you. That's
like
pretty bad.
100%.
But
you have to have faith. It's like I personally, the word faith is not in my vocabulary.
Well,
faith to me says,
I'm sure it's in there in an informal sense.
When I say, you're like, well, I have faith. I tell my child, I have faith that you'll do well on your test.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, no, I have confidence that you'll do well on your test.
But that's confidence. Right, to be with faith. Tim, I think that a lot of atheists misunderstand what faith is, that faith is a kind of way of knowing things, that faith is just kind of some kind of magical conduit of knowledge that's not empirical, not logical. But really, what faith is... the Catechism of the Catholic Church defines faith. I'm going to say paragraph 1814. Patrick can see if I'm right on that. It says that faith is the theological virtue that allows us to trust in God and His promises. Faith is essentially, it's a kind of, theologically, it's a trust in God. In general, it's just a trust we have in other people or things. You know, I have faith that my airplane's going to stay up in the air today. Now, the faith is grounded on certain evidences and reasons, and I would say the faith people have in God is also grounded in certain reasons. It's just a kind of confidence. But let's go back to the question. You brought up the worst, but if you're doing all this searching, what about the best? What are the good reasons for God? What were they and what were wrong for them? What was wrong with them? If you didn't come across that, do you think maybe some more searching would be involved?
No. I mean, I looked at, the reading I was doing was I looked at basically I started with Intro to Cosmology, looking at just the history of the universe.
Okay.
And I was just at no point did I was like, hey, you know, this could work just as well without a God as with one.
Well, Tim, do you think the universe ever began to exist?
Oh, by definition, yes.
Okay. So if And would you define universe as the sum total of all space, time, matter, and energy? Universe is a collection of all these physical things.
Yes.
Okay, so my question is then, if all reality, space, time, matter, and energy began, if we have a state of nothing, and then something comes from nothing, wouldn't you agree that if something begins to exist, it requires a cause, it requires an explanation?
Actually, no.
Okay, why do you, so you think that some things can just happen, can come into existence without a reason?
Something come from nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you familiar
with Dr. Lawrence Krauss?
Yes, I am familiar with Lawrence Krauss.
He has a book.
A Universe from Nothing. Yes.
Hold on, Tim. Yeah, this is a common subset of questions whenever Trent comes on.
Yep. Yes. So Lawrence Krauss is a physicist, and he wrote a book called A Universe from Nothing. And
yes.
It was David Albert who wrote a reply to it in the New York Times. So Krauss wrote this book, How You Can Get a Universe from Nothing, to show that something can come from nothing, the proofs for God don't work. And he was also sprinkling in cosmology. And I reference it in my own book, Answering Atheism. Here's the problem with Krauss, and I would encourage you, Tim, to go online, look for a review by a physicist and philosopher named David Albert. It was written in the New York Times back in 2012. It's called On the Origin of Everything, A Universe from Nothing by Lawrence Krauss. So just look up Lawrence Krauss, David Albert, and you'll find it. What Albert notes, and I also noted in reading the book, is that Krauss does a bait and switch. He doesn't show how something can come from nothing. He defines nothing as just a quantum vacuum. Quantum vacuum is just a piece of space that doesn't have objects in it, but has a low-level quantum field that fluctuates. And so sometimes particles can come from this fluctuating field. But, of course, that's not nothing. Right, it's not nothing. It is something. And so Krauss is kind of – he's only been able to define this by redefining the word nothing out of its traditional meaning. Do you see how there's a problem there?
Well, right, but I guess then how can – if you're talking about, you know, the quantum background field, how can you say that there can ever be nothing?
Well, you would say there could be nothing. Nothing is just a term of universal negation. Nothing isn't a thing. Nothing isn't
right,
a
thing. I mean, there's a difference between a bucket being empty and a bucket not existing.
Oh, absolutely. There's a difference.
Empty and null are two
separate
concepts.
We're talking
concepts.
More about the latter.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And even
yes,
St.
Absolutely.
And one of the problems with Krauss when I was reading him, he says, well, look, St. Thomas Aquinas would agree with me. He thought that nothing was just empty space. And that's not true. In the Summa Theologica, Thomas says that there is a difference between nothing and a vacuum. You're right. A vacuum is empty space. But nothing is the absence of being. So, you know, you could say, where is your homework? And you say, well, I have nothing to give you. What that means is, of the thing we call homework, there's an absence of being. There's nothing there. It's not like there's just emptiness, a vacuum. There might be a blank page, but there's no thing there. Nothing in its most universal sense is the idea that there's just no positive things. It's a complete universal negation, an absence of being. So the problem is that if the universe began, and universe includes things like quantum vacuums and other things like this that are something, we haven't gotten away from the problem that if there was a state of nothing, a state of absolute negation of anything, you can't get something from that. You need some kind of transcendent cause. And that serves for me as a foundation for a proof for the existence of God, because God, by definition, is uncaused. God just is. God is existence. So God can bring something from nothing, because God is the essence of being itself. God is, as St. Thomas says, ipsum esse, just being, infinite and unlimited. And so God explains how a universe could come from nothing, but atheistic cosmologies, and I've surveyed several of them, simply don't.
Thank you very much for the call, Tim. I hope that was a help. I do recommend Trent's book, Answering Atheism, available at shop.caplet.com. and follow-up. David Albert, right?
Yeah, David Albert, writing the New York Times, A Review of the Universe from Nothing. And I also cover, I reference Albert and Krauss and talk about it a bit more in the end notes in the cosmology section of Answering Atheism.
And we note in passing that Krauss is spelled K-R-A-U-S-S. No relation to Allison, as far as I know.
Don't think so.